And you are triggering my mind now. I did read one case, and I'm sorry I can't get you the site right away, but we can supply it later, in which the court looked to the fact that as to Florida real property, the legislature actually said in the statute, the parties cannot modify or abrogate this statutory right in their contract. So when the legislature specifically puts it in the statute and says you can't contract it away, that might be one example. We don't have that here. The cases they rely on for 517, citing an overriding public policy concern, all involve investors who purchased in the state of Florida or were part of a class of investors, including both Florida and non-Florida purchasers. Unless the court has other questions on 517, I'll address the motion for summary judgment argument. There are three reasons why you need to affirm the summary judgment argument. The first is they have simply not met the partial performance exception that takes an oral modification and puts it into an enforceable agreement that you can now sue on. That's the first. Second, their waiver argument is unavailing to them. And third, an argument they have not even addressed is, where's the consideration for this extension to roll over this option? Coast didn't even provide the consideration that was initially bargained for, and now it wants to say that my default on that should let me roll over this put or enter into a new put for a second term. There's a total failure of consideration here, and the court is right. This is under the category of no good deed goes unpunished. Let's go back to the first one, the partial performance. There's a New York statute on point that says where a written contract has a no waiver provision, you cannot modify that by an executory agreement. An oral promise to do something in the future. That is exactly what Coase is trying to argue here.